Wonderful song again. Exodus chapter 20. I know we've already been there once this week. We're going to go back there again. Exodus chapter number 20. Thank you, Glenn. We're going to look at verse 12 when you get there. Exodus 20, verse number 12. This has been a great week of camp. I hope you've thoroughly enjoyed yourself, and it's been a joy to see how receptive you've been in the services. And I thank the Lord for His word, and it certainly makes a difference in our lives. And so you've paid good attention, and I certainly do appreciate that. Exodus chapter number 20. Hey, let me say to you as well, thank you for what you gave in the offering. And obviously, I don't know the amount, what that is, but it was for us, and we're humbled by that, and we're super appreciative of it as well. And so Laura and I both want to say to you, thank you. Thank you for your kindness in that way. Exodus 20 and verse number 12. Here's what we read. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have heard this verse before? Okay, so it's not the first time? Oh, well, we're going to stick with it either way. How does that sound, okay? So verse 12 again. Why don't you say it with me, all right? Exodus 20 and verse number 12 together. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. One other question. How many of you have a father and a mother? Okay, so this verse is for you then. No problem. We're at the right place. So let's pray, okay? Father, thank you for your word. And we're certainly grateful for how relevant your word is for us even today. And there's really nothing to compare. There may be some here who are readers and read other authors and other works, but to have your word is just a wonderful thing. And we know it's a lamp unto our feet, and it's a light unto our path. And so we're all on the path of life that's made up of steps, and we need direction about those steps. And we get good direction from your word. And we find good direction here in Exodus 20 and in verse number 12. Captivate our minds now during this time, Lord. May we have complete focus on what the Bible says. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to look again at the Ten Commandments, specifically verse 12, about honoring thy father and thy mother. Give you a little bit of story, backstory about who I am. I grew up in a children's home. Now, I'm not an orphan, but believe it or not, I wasn't the best kid in the world. And so when I was 12 years old, I had to go see a counselor in the public school that I went to because I was getting in trouble. And I remember, I thought if you went to see a counselor, then you had like some mental disability. I hated going to this counselor lady. She was a Christian lady. She knew what she was doing. I remember the first time I went in there, she said, I want you to draw me a picture of a person. I like, lady, you are a quack. What do you mean? Draw a picture of a person. So I took the paper and I made a little stick person and I threw it back over across the table to her. Oh, that's very nice. That's very good. And she continued to talk and she began to counsel. And she knew I'd gotten in trouble. And so she said, you know what? I wonder if your mother would be interested in knowing of this Christian children's home. So, dummy that I am, I went home and told my mom about it. And so my mom looked into it. I went there when I was 12 years old. First night I was there, I got a spanking. Wasn't the last of all the spankings I would get, but I got a spanking when I was there for staying up after lights out. I'm looking for the guy who was telling me he was staying up after lights out. There he is, over there, yeah. So you'd have got a spanking in my day. So I got a spanking for that. And second night I was there, I got saved. And Mrs. Higginbotham, she's with the Lord now, she opened up the Bible and she shared with me how I could know that I was on my way to heaven. So really, at that time, I'd been living with my mom, and I never really left living at the children's home from 12 years old until I went off to college. And here's the reason. I realize if I leave, I'm going to sink. It's not going to work going back home. So it was a wonderful thing for me. I lived with my mom whenever I did go home for visits. Now, I got to tell you about my dad. I have no memory of my mom and dad ever living together. Well, I'm sorry. I do have a memory of it. And it was, I'm not exaggerating. It was with my mom chasing my dad out of the apartment we lived in Harlingen, Texas, with a frying pan, an iron skillet. And my dad was pretty nimble. That's what I remember, because he dodged and he ducked and he got, that's really my only memory. 1 year of my life, we went and lived with my dad in New York. He lived in Albany, New York, and we lived with him for a year. I say we, my sister and I, we would have been, it was before sixth grade, so I don't know how old I was, just, you know, maybe in third, fourth grade, something like that. So we lived with dad for a year, and then I really never had much communication with my dad after that. When Lori and I got married, we invited dad to come to our wedding, but he didn't come. When I graduated from high school, I'm backing up, I invited dad to come to my graduation. He didn't come to that. I graduated from college, invited dad. He didn't come to that, to our wedding. He never came for our kids' birthdays. He never came for anything. And so we all have a father and a mother, don't we? Everybody does. And maybe your situation was a little better than mine. I don't resent it. I mean, it is what it is. Nothing I could do about it. I wasn't in charge of how they were living their life. And so, and the Bible addresses the fact that all of us have a father and a mother. And we find that addressed here in Exodus 20 and verse number 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Let's look at a couple things. Number one, what does this mean to us? When you read Exodus 20 and you read verse number 12, what does that mean to us? In other words, what comes to your mind when you think of honoring your parents? Now, the wheel should turn. What comes to your mind? If I were to say, you should honor your parents, which you should, what comes to your mind initially? And I think probably our responses could vary depending on our age. I know I'm speaking to young people, but there are adults in the crowd as well. So, you know, I think our responses could vary. Many times when we think of honoring your father and your mother, we think of respecting them. How many would say, I could think of respect. That makes sense to me. Sure. You might think of something along the lines of, you should never speak ill of your father or your mother. So if I'm going to honor my mom and dad, and they're not perfect, you know mine weren't, so I'm going to assume yours aren't either, then you should never speak ill, because that would not be honoring your father or your mother. You should uplift them before others. Speak highly of them. That's how you would honor. This is sometimes what we think of. Listen to them. How many of you have ever had the parent talk? Okay, they're going to have the talk about whatever, cleaning your room, making your bed, whatever it might be, okay? And so if you're going to honor them, you would say that I need to listen. I need to listen to what they have to say. I need to listen to their opinions. I need to listen to their advice. I need to listen to their wishes. I need to listen to their counsel. And I would say why, and your response would be, because I'm supposed to, what's the word? Honor my father and my mother. If you're from the South, I'm sure you do this here, but it would mean you say yes, sir, and no, sir. You say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. That's just respectful. And I don't know if that's true across the country, but where we live, it's expected, because you're supposed to honor. Maybe if your parents are a little bit older. My wife's parents live right next door to us. We cut a hole in the fence, and mom and dad live right next door to us. So if they're a little bit older, then you're supposed to visit them. You're supposed to call on them regularly. You're supposed to, what's the Bible word? Honor thy father and thy mother. So here was the initial question. What comes to your mind when you think of honoring your parents? Now here's my question. Is there more to it than just that? Is it more than just being respectful? Is it more than just listening to them? What did God mean when he said, honor thy father and thy mother? By the way, I don't think that he's directing this towards children only. Because you read in the New Testament, he talks about children, honor thy father and thy mother, or obey thy parents. But that's not included here. It's just to Israel specifically. They're supposed to honor their father and their mother. Are the above mentioned thoughts about what you think of when it comes to honoring, are those thoughts fully what God intended with this commandment? Just be respectful and you cover this commandment of honoring your father and your mother. Just listen when they're talking, and then you fulfill this commandment of honoring your father and your mother. I want you to know that without a doubt, there is more to this command than what we generally think of. Several years ago, I read a book called All God's Children in Blue Suede Shoes. It has to do with culture. It was recommended to me by Ray and Ann Gibbs, actually, because I had some questions about music. And I found it a very, very interesting book. And one of the things that this book talked about, not in detail, but it talked about how we have undermined what God meant when he said to honor thy father and thy mother. So I would say there's no doubt you should respect your parents. You should not speak ill of them. You should listen to them, and you should speak respectfully to your parents. But there's far more that goes into this command, and I think it's amazing how much is meant. This just really blows my mind. I think it's amazing how much is meant with so few words. Honor thy father and thy mother. So, honor is the word we're focusing on. Here's my next point. What does that word mean? Because that's going to give us direction. What does the word honor mean? I don't want to bore you with this, but there are a lot of Hebrew words. There's actually 17 Hebrew words in the Bible that could be translated to our English word honor. The word that's specifically here in Exodus chapter 20 is used 116 different times. I'm just giving you these numbers for a reason, okay? It's used 116 different times. 34 of those times in the English language, the word is honor, like you and I said it tonight. And so there are 22 other English words that are used. Words like harden, same word as honor. Promote, same Bible word as honor. Heavy, same Bible word as honor, and then et cetera, et cetera. But none of them are used more than 34 times like the word we find here. So I'm going to give you some examples, okay? Because we really need to understand what this word means. Let's look at some examples of how the word is used. Turn to Exodus, which is where you're at, and turn back to chapter number 8. Exodus in chapter number 8. And look at Exodus 8 and verse number 15. We're looking at some examples here, okay? Because I really think we need to understand this word if we're going to grasp what it means. In Exodus chapter 8, we're going to have the idea of hardened. Look at verse 15. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, what's the next word? Hardened. Now, if you look it up in a Bible dictionary, that's the same word as honor. It's translated differently. And it's not translated improperly, but the word is the same word as honor that you find in Exodus chapter 20. So Pharaoh hardened his heart and hearkened not unto the Lord as the Lord had said. Look at verse number 32 in the same chapter. Verse 32, the very last verse. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go. Same word, hardened. Go to chapter 9, look at verse 7. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened. Now, I think you're familiar with this story of Pharaoh. Look in chapter 9 at verse 34. But when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants, verse 35, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. So you see the idea of being solid in a course of action. In other words, Pharaoh wasn't going to move. You get this? You might look at it this way. His heels were dug in. I'm hardened my heart. I am not about to change for anything. You follow the idea? That's embodied in the word. What's the word we're looking at? What is it again? Honor. Okay. Now turn, if you will, to the book of Numbers. Numbers and chapter 22. Numbers 22. And look at verse number 17. Numbers 22 and verse 17. This is about Balak wanting to be blessed of the Lord, and Balaam, look at verse number 17. It says, "For I will promote thee," this is the offer, "unto very great," what's the word? "Honor. And I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me." Now, those statements go together. In other words, you are going to be honored so much that whatever you say to me, I'm going to do it. You will carry that much weight. You will carry that much influence. Does everybody understand that? So, you're important if you'll do what I say. It's the same word. I wanted you to see it. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2. We're kind of moving to the right in our Bible. 1 Samuel chapter number 2 and verse 29. 1 Samuel 2 and 29. This is about Eli's boys, who were not good boys by any stretch of the imagination. They were absolutely wicked. In 1 Samuel 2, verse number 29, "Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me." So here's what God is saying. Look, Eli, your boys are more important. You are honoring them more than you are honoring me. They have become more important. They have become preeminent to you. I'm just giving you examples of what this word honor means. Look at 1 Samuel 5 and verse number 11. 1 Samuel 5 and verse 11. This is about the ark. The ark says, "So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines." Philistines didn't want the ark. It was nothing but trouble to them. And so they wanted to get rid of it. And they said, "Send away the ark of the God of Israel, and let it go again to his own place, that it slay us not and our people. For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there." The word heavy, honor. In other words, God was in charge. I mean, this ark came, and it's like everything went bad from there for us. God was in charge. It's the word honor. Here, it's the word heavy. So what does the word mean? With those examples, let me just give you a couple ideas. It means to be heavy, to be weighty, to be grievous, to be made heavy, to made abundant or impactful. So there's a lot of different ideas. There's a bit more to it than we often realize. Have you ever heard the expression, this person carries a lot of weight around here? They're one of the bigwigs. They're important. When they come around, you kind of straighten up, you make sure you're doing what you're supposed to. That's the idea of honor. You're supposed to follow the lead of the one who is preeminent. The verses dealing with Pharaoh harden his heart are, I think, very, very informative. In other words, Pharaoh was not going to go the other way. Hear me out on this, okay? Pharaoh was not going to go the other way. He was locked in to what he honored. And by the way, who did he honor? Himself. I mean, he wasn't going to move. Does that put a picture in your mind? I'm not moving. This is where I am. I'm honoring what I want. You can do what you want. You can send whatever plagues you want, God. My heart is hardened. It is set. It's not going to move. He honored his way. Tomorrow you're going to have the rodeo. The ranch in Murfreesboro does the same thing. Last year, if it wasn't last year, it was the year before last, I was at Family Week. I don't know if we were there for the whole week. We were just there for the rodeo. Since we live in Murfreesboro, we go in and out sometimes to services that they're having out there. And the rodeo is just coming to an end. Is the tug of war the last thing here? So like it is here back there. It was just coming to an end, and it was a family week. And there was this fella that I had met during the week from Alabama. He's from Alabama. All right, he had the draw. He was registered. You could get papers on him, okay? He was a registered person from Alabama. Some of you girls here are from the South, okay? And so I said, "Hey, how did the tug of war go?"
And he said, oh, man, it was good. He said, man, that one team, they had a big old boy on their team. This is how he talked. And he said, man, he was at the end, and he was dug in like an Alabama tick. Now, how many of you know what a tick is? Okay, so I don't know if they have it. But I thought, and he was talking about Les Lipsko. Some of you will know, and Les is a big boy. I mean, he's like, he was dug in like an Alabama tick. In other words, they weren't moving. I mean, Les was there. They were rock solid. They were settled. They were hardened. There was no moving them. He was dug in like an Alabama tick. And I've never forgotten that. Put a picture in my mind. So think about that when you think about honoring. You're dug in like a, can you say the word with me? Alabama. Tick. I'm not moving. I'm going to honor my father and my mother. I'm set, I'm settled, I'm dug in. Now, the same word honor is also used of God. I think it's important to know that. We are to honor God. We're to honor the Lord. Same word. So, and I think understanding that it's the same word is going to help us understand what God meant. So we know that we're supposed to honor our parents. We're going to come back to that. But we're all supposed to honor the Lord. So that means it's just more than lip service. It's more than yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, okay, I'll listen. It's more than lip service. In other words, we stick with God and we follow Him. This means that it would be important to know what pleases God. Listen to me carefully. It would be important to know what pleases God because we're supposed to honor Him. And it was God's intention that a father and mother help with that. I don't know if that clicks in your brain. Who gave the Ten Commandments? God did. Okay, are we supposed to honor God? Help me out. Are we supposed to honor God? Yes. So when we have the Ten Commandments and the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, I would say to you, that's going to help us honor ultimately who? God. So honoring your father and your mother is huge. Huge. We're not honoring because we talk nice about God or our parents. Now, you shouldn't not talk nice about them. But we're honoring them when we give them preeminence in our life. You say, Pastor Coyle, what about parents like yours? That's a real good question. You think God knew that before I ever was born? Absolutely, He did. So I would say to you, nothing changes. Nothing at all changes. So honor thy father and thy mother. Now look, I understand that we all grow into be our own individuals. In other words, I'm not saying girls, you need to be just like your mother. I'm not saying boys, you need to be just like your father. I totally understand that we all grow into our own individuals. So there's nothing wrong with that. And I don't think this commandment is about being an exact replica of your parents. I don't think that's what it's talking about at all. Think about it. It was given at a time when Israel had left Egypt. It transcends that, obviously, but that's the context. So you think about who would have been the fathers and the mothers during this time. And think about what they would have learned during this time. Matter of fact, when they were leaving Egypt, these commandments were given to them, and they had left Egypt. These commandments were given to them. There undoubtedly were generations of understanding about what life was like in Egypt. Now, oftentimes, Egypt represents what in the Bible? The sin or world, okay? Do you by chance live in the world? Sure you do, okay? So here's what God says. You've left. You're on your own. You've known what it's like to live in the world, if I could kind of word it that way. So here's something that's going to be really, really important as you move forward. Honor your parents. Honor your parents. The adults had seen and learned much during this time. There's no doubt that they had learned much about God. They had learned much about life. They had learned a lot about trials. They had learned a lot about troubles. They have probably made lots of mistakes. So don't you think God is brilliant? And I'm not trying to be disrespectful in humanizing him that way. Don't you think God was brilliant to say, honor your father and your mother? Solomon said to his son, in talking to him, he said this, I was my father's son. I was a boy once. It'd be like me talking to my son, and I've said this to him numerous times. Look, pal, I know stuff you don't know. Because I was in your place once upon a time. I was my father's son. I've gone through things that I know you are going to go through. Now, my son at that point has an option. That can be really important to him, or he can just blow it off. Or, let's change it, he can honor. He can say, I'm dug in like an Alabama tick, Dad. Go on, what do you got? You're my guy. I'm going to listen to you. I'm telling you, that's what God expects him to do. Think there's other things vying for his attention? You think there's other pulls on his life? You better believe it. So he's got to make a choice. He's got to make a decision. Where's my loyalty? What's the most important to me? Well, God really made it fairly easy for him. Honor your father and your mother. So there's no doubt that Israel would have learned. Solomon said, I was my father's son. I've traveled the journey that is before you, and I've learned things along the way. So I think God intends for a father and a mother to impart caution, discretion, wisdom, counsel, and help, and many other things to their children. Several years back, I attended a funeral in Kentucky. It was actually in Somerset, Kentucky. It was of a dear man. I wish you could have met Raven. He was just a great guy. We met him at a revival meeting way down in South Texas. He took a liking to us, and he just kept in touch with us. And we'd known Raven for years, Raven and Beverly. Well, he passed away. And of course, we went to his funeral in Somerset, Kentucky. I had no part in the funeral other than attending. But the pastor that preached the funeral talked about how different his church was. And I'm going to give you the words he said. He said, you know, in our church, we have smoke and lights. How many of you know what that would mean? Kind of a little modern, kind of worldly. I don't know why he said this. It was a funeral, but he did. He said, in our church, we have smoke and lights. Well, I'm just going to tell you, in our church, we don't, and we're never going to. But he wanted me to know that's what he had. Then he said something that bothered me and still does to this very day. He said, this isn't your parents' church. This isn't your grandparents' church. We've got smoke and lights. I'm going to tell you, that undermines honor thy father and thy mother. Absolutely undermines it, and I'm terribly bothered by it. So it's the idea of, look, your parents are old fogies. Your parents don't really know what's going on. Times are changing. Things are different. They don't know how things are now. And so you don't have to allow them to carry weight or influence in your life. That is wrong. Across the board. You say, are you sure? I'm absolutely sure. I'm just telling you, God knew exactly what he meant when he said, honor thy father and thy mother. Now, I know this generates a lot of questions, and I'll have some answers for you here in just a moment. You know, this is trendy. children or kids, teenagers, let me say to you, don't think that you have to be so different from your parents. Don't think that you have to be so different from your parents. Here's what I mean. You say, look, my music's going to be different from my parents' music. Does this make sense to you? It's going to be different. I mean, they listen to stuff that's, you know, church and it's old-fashioned. It's kind of slow. So I'm going to be different than that. Okay? And I would say to you, what are you going to do about honor thy father and thy mother? My dress. Mom says I've got to be conservative, you know, down to the top of my big toe and, you know, up to the top of my ears, whatever. I don't know, whatever bothers you. So you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be different from my parents. I'm just telling you, before you're so quick to make that move, you better think long and hard about what God said when he said, honor thy father and thy mother. Now, I know it's bringing up questions in your mind. That's fair. We'll look at a couple in just a moment. My idea of entertainment is going to be different from my parents' entertainment choices. When I turn 18, I'm going to do things different. You're not dug in like an Alabama tick. You're not honoring. My ideas about morality are going to be different from my parents' ideas. There seems to be a level of excitement for a teenager to be independent of their father and their mother. I don't want to live in the same town as my parents and be known as Mr. Jones's boy. Just don't forget what God has said about honoring your parents. I think there's been some unusual preaching that has undermined this commandment. Don't force your beliefs upon your children. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? Don't force your beliefs upon your children. I'm their parents. If I don't, somebody else will. And they're commanded by God to honor me as their parents. Well, if there's not a real solid Bible command, don't be so dogmatic with your kids. Well, maybe you've thought through it. Maybe you've seen things. Maybe you understand things. And you know why this is where you are. There may not be a Bible command that just strictly says exactly what your principle or what your particular conviction is about. But there's nothing in the world wrong with teaching that to your children and them embracing that. Well, you're just going to have to learn to develop your own convictions. Can't look to mom and dad all the time. I'd look to mom and dad every breathing day that God gives you. If we're to honor our father and our mother, then I would say to you that adopting their convictions just might be the wisest thing that you could do. I'm not dogmatic on that, but I tell you what I am dogmatic about saying, those are my parents' convictions, no way. That's wrong. That's absolutely wrong. Because you're not honoring your father and your mother. If you can't understand all of the thinking behind a given issue, and it could be at this stage in your life you don't. That's not the end of the world. So if you can't understand all of the thinking behind a given issue, but your parents have faithfully towed a certain line, don't forget the command in the Bible that says, honor thy father and thy mother. You may say, I don't know why mom and dad do this, but they do it, and they do it all the time. Then I would say to you, you better think that way. You should be willing to honor that. Now, I know we want our own way. We want to grow up and be independent. And a lot of times that's immature. Not only is it immature, it can be naive And many times it's foolish. So what I would say, parents who have been there should be leaned upon and followed. How wise is God? Honor thy father and thy mother. So let me give you some questions, because maybe you've got them. Question number one. What if my parents are unsaved? What if my parents are, and that's a legitimate, real life, probably very much true for some of you in this auditorium. What if my parents are unsaved? Should I honor them? The question comes up with obedience as well. Should I obey my parents if they're unsaved? First off, I would remind you that God gave this command and he knows all things. He knows all things. So if you're in a home where your parents are unsaved, God knew that before you were ever born, before your parents were ever born. Matter of fact, it goes all the way back to the book of Exodus where he said, honor thy father and thy mother. And do you know this, that salvation within a home doesn't always begin with parents being saved first? Any of you ever go to church for the first time on a bus, a van, and you were saved? And later on, perhaps, you were able to see your parents saved. So I would say to you that if your parents aren't saved, certainly we would pray that they would be saved, but you still honor your parents. Now look, I understand that there may be areas where you would not mimic your parents because they're unsaved. I totally understand that. That makes perfect sense to me. But there are still ways where you can honor both your parents and the Lord even if your parents are unsaved. So if your parents are unsaved, I would say probably the best way that they'd ever be saved is if you'd learn to honor them. It's what the Bible says about a wife who has an unsaved husband. So it goes a long way. Didn't God know what he was doing when he said, honor thy father and thy mother? Here's the next question. What if my parents' standards and convictions are weaker? They're not very strong standards and convictions. Well, that's a legitimate question, isn't it? Do you know that I don't think that you dishonor them by having stronger standards? So look, maybe your parents say, we only go to church on Christmas and Easter. All right, so the question might be, would I honor my parents if I went every Sunday? I don't think you'd dishonor them. I don't think that at all. Not at all. A balance can be struck of honoring both God and your parents. I tell you a true story. I grew up in a children's home, and my mom still lived in the area, and so whenever I'd go home, I'd see my mom. And I believe the Lord wanted me to go off to Bible college. I was convinced of that. And so I remember I was about to go off to Bible college. My mom lived in apartments on Broadway in McAllen. Lori, I took you by there when we were down there not long ago. Oh, the memories. And I remember I just had a box full of stuff, because most of my stuff was at the children's home where I lived. But I had a box full of stuff at my mom's house. And I was walking down the stairs, and my mom said to me, I don't know why you got to go off to a Bible college. Why don't you stay here and go to a different school where you can make more money? It just doesn't make any sense to me. Now, that bothered me. It didn't bother me in anger. It bothered me because I thought, I want to, can you think of the word? Honor. I want to honor my mom. I hadn't lived with my mom since I was 12 years old. I want to honor my mom. So here's what I said to mom. I said, Mom, I really want to honor you, but this is what I believe God wants me to do without a doubt. She said, well, you better go to Bible college then. That made it really easy for me. Is God big enough to do those kind of things? Absolutely. Absolutely. I would say to you that by and large, parents don't want you to live a life that's bad and miserable. That I would say across the board, all things being equal, your parents want what's the very best for you. So listen to me. Honor them. Be dug in. Hardened towards the fact that I'm going to honor my parents. Here's another question. Can I take a stand for what's right and still honor my parents who may not agree? Certainly. Yes, you can. It may not be easy. And this may be something that you encounter a little later in life by virtue of how old you are at this point. Do you know that you can still treat someone with honor and not agree with them? You can. You can respect the position that they hold. In your case, you can respect them for who they are in your life. They're your parents. I told you I never lived with my dad. The 1 year we lived with him, we met his wife, whose name was Josie. She would have been my stepmother. Because I never saw my dad, I never really had a lot of interaction with my stepmother. But when Laura and I got married, I wanted my kids to know who their grandpa was. I don't know that he was terribly interested in knowing who they were, but you know what, that's okay. Somebody's got to make a move in the right direction, so we decided we'll do that. And I wanted them to get to know Josie, my stepmom. And they did. They called her Nana Jo. We were traveling in revival work, and we were parked at a church in Albany, New York. And because we were in town, they wanted us to go out to the lake. They called it Lake Sacandaga, just north of Albany. Now, when I had been there before as a little kid, we did that. And all they did was drink and play cards the whole time. I'm not exaggerating. Now, at this point, my dad and Nana Jo had separated. You want to know why? Because my dad was a drunk. She'd had enough. And it had split their marriage. And probably a couple other marriages that my dad had as well. So they invited us out to the lake. It was going to be with everybody on my dad's side of the family. My Uncle Bob and my Aunt Mary, my Uncle Danny, my Aunt Pat, all of them. And I knew exactly what was going to happen. So I just said, you know what, I don't think we're going to go out to the lake. And Josie's unsaved. And she said, why? And I said, well, there'll probably be a lot of drinking and stuff, and I don't know that I really want my kids to be around that. But you guys go ahead. We'll be fine, and we're still going to be in town or whatever. Man, she was mad at me. I'm not exaggerating. When it talked to me, we were supposed to have dinner, didn't want us to come over. I think we left town, and I don't know that I even talked to her again. Because I tried to call, she didn't want to talk to me. Well, fair enough. Everybody gets their feathers ruffled, right? So we had traveled and done whatever, and we were coming back through New York. And so I called her and had to leave a message. Said, hey, we're coming through Albany. Could we meet at a restaurant so that you could see the kids? It'd be great to see you. And I think she called me back and left a message, and she said, look, we don't want to see you at all, and we don't want to see the kids. Well, that was a bummer. And then we never talked to Nana Jo for years. For years. Till one day I got an email from her. She'd gotten saved. And in part in the email, she said to me, you know, everything you've done has been right with your family. And I want to apologize. I wasn't mad at her. I would have went to visit her in a heartbeat. You want to know why? And this is honest to goodness truth, because I think it's important that you honor your father and your mother. Josie knows the Lord. We have great talks on the phone. They're entirely too long because she goes on and on and on and on. But it's all right. We've got a lot of time to make up.
So, can I take a stand for what is right and still honor my parents who may not agree? I would say to you, absolutely yes.
So, let's get to this question. Does this mean I've got to be exactly like my parents? You know, just a little robot of who my parents were? No. That's not what it means at all. Listen to Proverbs 30, verse 11. You don't need to turn there. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. This is where it becomes problematic. When it digresses into living life in rebellion to all that your parents believed and taught, that's where it becomes a problem. To walk away from the values that your parents taught you and followed in their own life. Look at me. That's dishonoring. And for your generation, that's what you're faced with. It's different not to embrace something because it was wrong, as opposed to abandoning something because it's difficult or uncomfortable, or you're going to have to be different from everyone else. I'm not going to be like my parents, because my parents were always the odd guy out. We didn't do things like everyone else. Everyone else looked at us like we were weird because mom and dad lived by these standards and these convictions. And you're saying, that's the reason I don't want to do it. That will be too hard and too difficult. Then you're dishonoring. You're not honoring your parents. Time is moving quickly here. Turn to Proverbs. I want you to see some examples. I'm going to move fast, okay, because of time. Proverbs, and I want you to see some my son, okay? Proverbs is, a lot of it is Solomon talking to his son. So some my son examples. It seems that honoring takes on different looks at different stages of life. And Solomon seems to give some examples of this for us. Look at Proverbs 1, look at verse 10. What are the first two words? My son. So that is a dad talking to his. So should the son be dug in like an Alabama tick? Yes. Dad's talking. Okay. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive. So in other words, he's saying things to his son that he knows are going to happen, but his son would have no clue because he's young, perhaps. Let us swallow them up alive, verse 12, as a grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Stay away from those guys. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. He gives counsel about evil communication. And here's essentially what it's talking about. Let's take advantage of people for personal gain. And people do that, don't they? How many of you have ever known someone who's taken advantage of someone else so that they can gain from that? You ever known? Okay, so this is practical. Maybe you've seen your parents taken advantage of by others, and they seem to do nothing about it. And you think to yourself, not me. Nobody's going to take advantage of me. According to verse number 19, better to be taken advantage of than to be taken than to take advantage of others. So how do you learn that? Who teaches that? A parent. A parent does. So if we can run with our little illustration here, Solomon is saying, look, you need to be dug in like an Alabama tick. Don't take advantage of anybody, son. It's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. That will serve you well in life. Listen to me. That will serve you well in life if you'll learn to honor your parents. You say, wait a second. This is the Bible. I know it's the Bible. But it's the Bible in the context of a father talking to his son.
We'll skip over. Look at Proverbs 3. There are a couple here that I'm not going to look at. Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, forget not my law. Ah, the word forget, honor me. Don't get to a point in your life where you say, I don't need to think. Remember what dad said about this. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. And then verses 5, 6, and 7, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Isn't that great? I don't know if you've ever realized those wonderful verses. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. That was a father talking to his son. So no, that's God's word. Yes, it is God's word. But in the context, it's dad saying to his son, look, son, I'm going to tell you something. Listen, pay attention. You need to be dug in like an Alabama tick. Trust God all the time for everything. I'm telling you, God knew exactly what he meant when he said honor. Honor is more than yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Okay, I'll listen to what you're saying. It talks about going with you for the rest of your life. Don't forget what you've heard. Very important. Look, if you will, at Proverbs 5. This, I think, is a great context here for a father talking to his son. My son, attend unto my wisdom. This is probably a little later in life. And bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as honeycomb. So he goes on to warn the son about a strange woman. And I'm telling you, if you have a parent who has been wise enough to educate you that way, and the day comes where you neglect it and you get involved with the strange woman, you'll understand how foolish it was to not honor your father and your mother. Look, I know this is God's word, but in the context, it's a father addressing his son. And I submit to you that God intends for us to learn. God intends for us to learn about life. Listen, he intends for us to learn about life by honoring our father and our mother. So let me ask you a question. I don't think I've asked you this yet. Are you? Are you honoring your father and your mother? Oh, I say yes, sir, and I say no, sir. Well, that's good. But are you dug in? You don't care what your friends say. You don't care what the culture is pushing down your throat. You're going to honor your father and your mother. My concern is not so much that parents have led us astray, as it is that culture, friends, or convenience leads us away from a foundational Bible command. Honor thy father and thy mother. 2 years ago, 2022, it'd be two years ago this August, in 2022, our family was on vacation in Gatlinburg, Tennessee on Douglas Lake. We go to Gatlinburg every year for vacation. This was our first year to go to Douglas Lake. We had a blast. I mean, it was just first time to do anything on the water, and we loved it. Just had a great time. We were sitting out on our screen porch with a beautiful view of the lake, and the sun was setting, and I got a phone call. And the phone call was from my half-sister, Courtney. I could not tell you the last time my half-sister Courtney called me. I have no idea. Years. She is the daughter between Nana Jo and my dad. Courtney's 25, 30. I don't know how old she is. I wouldn't know. We don't keep up with her. And she said, hey. And I'm like, hey. If my other sister calls me, I'm always worried she wants money. But Courtney, I have no idea. And she said, Aunt Pat just kicked dad out. Now, my sister, Courtney, lived in Albany, New York, where my dad lived.
And she was much more in tune with whatever was going on with my dad than I was, because we had no contact with that. So she said, Aunt Pat has kicked Dad out, and he's going to call you. I said, all right, no big deal. And sure enough, he called. This was on a Thursday. And we were talking. He said, Rich, I need a place to live. I said, okay, I'll fly up on Monday. And I did. I hadn't seen my dad in years. Everything he owned, he had packed in his Hyundai Santa Fe, except his dentures. Those got lost. And that would prove problematic moving forward. So I flew up on Monday. He met me at the airport. I didn't go see Courtney. I didn't go see Aunt Pat. I didn't go see anybody. We got on the turnpike and we headed south. I was home Tuesday afternoon with my dad, whom I, for all practical purposes, did not know. So he took over my office. We put a bed in there. And Dad had severe emphysema, like on oxygen. I bought him an RV. I parked it outside in our driveway. Actually, before I did that, I said, Dad, do you want to go live in a home somewhere for people in your situation? Or do you want to live in a trailer? I'll buy it for you and we'll park it in the driveway. He said, I want to live in the trailer. I said, all right, we'll do it. Took us about 2 or 3 weeks to find an RV that was appropriate. He ate any meals he wanted with us. Bought him an RV. He was right out there, built a little porch so he could get his wheelchair, electric wheelchair, up as far as he could go. He couldn't smoke in the house. He couldn't smoke in the RV. And first time he was there, he said, can you take me to the corner store to get some alcohol? Some beer. I'm like, Dad, I don't think we need to be doing that stuff. He's like, I need to quit anyways. I'm like, all right. We had to take Dad to the hospital, to the doctor, because he had all kinds of medication. And we didn't know anything. And I could call my sister. The only problem is she didn't know. She had no clue. My Aunt Pat, that's a different story. It was best just not to talk to Aunt Pat. So we didn't. Well, as we moved along, Dad was, and this is the honest to goodness truth, he was loving life. We live in the country, very rural area. Across from us is, I don't know how many acre field that they plant corn and winter wheat and all sorts of stuff. And so, and Dad lived in Albany, New York. And I remember he said to me, is there a sidewalk from your house to the corner store? No. you got to go to town to find sidewalks. it was just different. He would sit outside of his trailer, smoke his cigarettes, and I said to him a little bit into it, we kind of fattened him up a little, as much as we could, with sweets. That's all he wanted. I said, Dad, if you want to go back to New York, I'll drive you back to New York. I said, I know you're not used to anything here, and you're not a bother to us, but I'll take you back to New York. He said, no, I've never been more happier. Well, as he continued to go to doctor's appointments, we found out that Dad had cancer in one of his lungs. Really wasn't the end of the world, because it was in an area of his lung that was extremely emphysematic, if I'm saying that correctly. We have a nurse here. Does that sound right? Sounds good. And which means it's dead, it weighs heavy, and it makes it harder for him to breathe. So they were going to remove that. And that's what they did. How long was he in the hospital, babe? 2 weeks? 2.5 weeks? Something like that. 11 days something. Well, my dad died. And we loved having him. We just did. I resented a little bit the fact that my sister never stepped up. You say, well, why would you do that? Is it because you loved your dad? Well, I guess you're supposed to love your dad, right? It's easier to love somebody you know. So why'd you do that? And this is honest goodness truth. Because I felt like I was supposed to honor my dad. And I know dad loved it, but I'm telling you, we thoroughly enjoyed it. Because he's my dad. That's the reason. I just think God knew what he was talking about when he said, honor thy father and thy mother. And if you'll allow me, regardless. That's what it means. I think I've asked you this once already. I know I have. Are you honoring your parents? Maybe your problem is you're disrespectful with your words. Maybe you're living, just biding your time. I'm going to get out. I'm not going to do things the way they do things. And they don't have a clue. And you have a disrespect. You're not dug in. It doesn't mean a lot to you. Listen to me. It needs to mean more to you than you can probably imagine at this point in your life. Just take God at his word. Honor thy father and thy mother.